Summit Serves is a production of Summit Media Omaha, connecting you to the community. This is Summit Serves.
With the governor of the great state of Nebraska, Pete Ricketts. And Governor, first of all, thank you so much for being out in front of this situation on a daily basis. I just want to start with, couldn't have been anything you ever imagined, I would assume.
Well, hey, thanks, Nick, for having me on. And yes, when I was elected governor 5 years ago, I was not expecting to deal with a pandemic. That's certainly true. And we have been very, very busy around here. It's all uncharted territory for everybody in the state, in the country, around the world. But I got to tell you, we got a great team here at the state of Nebraska. Everybody is stepping up to the challenge. We got great people all across the state on our hospitals, our first responders, our public health officials, people in the community, our businesses. Everybody is really just, you know, really by and large, people are stepping up and doing the right thing.
Well, Governor, let's get right to it. What are the latest developments today with the coronavirus and its impact on our citizens as far as we know at this moment?
The second case of community spread, which means we can't really track how the person got it. Of our cases that we have here in the state, and when I last checked, it was at 28, we usually, for most of them, we can track where they came from. They're mostly travel-related. But we do have those two cases in Omaha where we can't figure out how they got it. And that was kind of our trigger to say, okay, we need to really start doing some more of the restrictions that will limit those public gatherings and so forth. So, for example, Douglas County put out their directed health measure yesterday, and I put out one today that basically instructs, for example, restaurants to close their dining rooms and only do takeout, delivery, or drive-through, closes down bars. And again, the whole idea is we're really trying to limit those social gatherings to 10 people. And that's CDC guidance from Monday. What the directed health measures do is really give it force of law. It becomes a misdemeanor now for people to violate that. So, like I said, by and large, we have seen substantial compliance with this. People have just been really great about stepping up to do that. The order lasts till April 30th, and it does involve making sure schools are operating without students so that, again, kids tend to weather the virus pretty well, but they tend to also spread the virus. You know, kids tend not to be as health conscious, maybe washing their hands as other people. And so it really is trying to make sure we slow the spread of the virus. And one of the reasons why this is so important is because about 5% of the people who get the virus will need to go to the hospital. 1-2% will need ICU care. And if we have large numbers of people who get infected, and then even if only 5% or 2% need to go the hospital or need that ICU care, that will overwhelm our healthcare system. And there's no antiviral medicine for this. There's no inoculation for this right now. There will be at some point in the future, but right now there isn't. So the best chance we have for those people to survive is to make sure that we give them the proper care in a hospital. And really that's what this is all about, is making sure we protect those most vulnerable people in our society. And they're generally older Nebraskans with an underlying health issue like heart disease or respiratory disease or diabetes or something like that. So that's what this is really all about.
Governor Ricketts, and I know with this still being a very fluid situation, with what you just kind of laid out there, has there been discussion or could there be any further restrictions put into effect either from a county standpoint or even throughout the state?
Well, certainly we have supported local folks who have wanted to go beyond what we've asked at the state. So, for example, you may recall when Fremont had the case with the basketball game, and Fremont schools wanted to shut down, I supported that. When OPS wanted to extra spring break, essentially, I supported that. So when people want to go above and beyond, I certainly support it. You never say never, but I certainly have no intention of closing down businesses at large. We're really trying to get at the ones that have large numbers of general public going into them. So if you're an office building, for example, and say you've got 1,000 people in them, and you found a way to get 500 of them to work from home, but you still have 500 people showing up, that's okay. We need to have things continue to work. Grocery stores work. Most retail shopping is still out there. So we really want to be able to keep businesses going as to the extent possible, just really avoid those large access to the public, those large public groups that tend to spread virus.
Governor Ricketts, what has been the typical day this past week for you? Who are you corresponding with as far as agencies, other important decision makers, and just how do you kind of compartmentalize everything, all the information that you're gathering?
Well, I don't know if there's a typical day, But we've been on phone calls. Yesterday I talked to just about every mayor from, you know, our villages all the way up to our first and class, second class cities. I typically am on the phone or texting with the mayor of Omaha and the mayor of Lincoln every day. Mm-hmm. I'm typically talking to somebody at UNMC every day. You know, for example, yesterday we talked with my Department of Motor Vehicles. Again, they have members of the public coming in, so we have to make adjustments to our operations there, and we're working on an executive order we're going to put out with regard to how we're going to change those operations. We're working on daycares. You know, again, we want to limit it to 10 kids per room, so we put out guidance with regard to that. We had a press conference talking about that yesterday. So, and then we continue to work on now, how do we create more capacity around daycares? And how do we prioritize it for our first responders, our healthcare officials, our healthcare workers, that kind of thing? So, and then today I was on the phone, a video conference call with the president, talking about the federal response and asking for some help to get some waivers from federal regulations so that we can make things happen here in the state of Nebraska. So there really isn't a typical day, but we're really talking to a lot of folks. I had a call with hospital executives today. We had a call with about 500 faith leaders yesterday. Again, we're just trying to get the word out, talking to folks who, you know, are going to be a part of the solution for how we prevent the spread of this virus, and really working to bring everybody together so we're all on the same page.
Well, and Governor, in communication with the medical community, how have they been able to handle things to this point, and are they continuing to make steps for measures that if things did get worse, that they feel like they are on top of it as much as they can be?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, a lot of the questions with the medical community was around how do we get testing kits, and we're working with FEMA to try and get more of those. How do we get more PPE, personal protective equipment, you know, things like masks and gowns and gloves and face shields, things like that. So we're working again with the federal government, and we're also working to try and find local suppliers, or I should say private suppliers, to be able to, for the state to buy and be able to distribute that. And we've been doing that, distributing those materials through our local public health departments. So we're working to try and get that out to folks. But, you know, you can imagine that in Omaha, it's a different situation than, say, in Ogallala and the volunteer EMTs they have there versus the folks we have here. So we're working with them on that standpoint. So far, you know, and we're also working to expand the capacity. So we're working with hospitals, brainstorming ideas of where we might find additional capacity. So we got a lot of valuable feedback in talking with the hospital CEOs today. And again, we're going to make that a weekly call so that we can continue that good line of communication.
Governor, I have to imagine right now the emphasis has to be on patients. I'm sure you're asked all the time that if we are to continue to distance ourselves and practice social distancing, that, you know, within weeks, this thing could see the positive results. Have you been hearing anything from the medical community that they feel very confident that the measures that are in place right now are the best way to try to contain this?
Yeah, so the way we set up kind of our programs to take these steps, and they call them, for the kind of the industry jargon is non-pharmaceutical interventions, or NPIs, was working with the experts at UNMC. University of Nebraska Medical Center has world-recognized leading experts in infectious disease, and early on, we consulted with them to create kind of criteria and the steps we would take to be able to, you know, take these interventions to be able to slow the spread of the disease that, you know, again, we don't have any drugs for or anything like that. So it's really been based on their advice that we've put these things together, and right now it's probably too early to see if these things are working. But I would say that if you look at some of the other states like New York or the San Francisco area, Northern California or Seattle, and what's happened there, we're fortunate that we are not at their stage, that we've taken some of these interventions, because that should help us avoid the widespread, widespread of the virus. Like New York, I think, went from 2,000 cases to 3,000 cases overnight. Mm. So, and that's, you know, that's, again, just an example of how fast this virus can spread. So, again, that's why we're really asking people to avoid these groups, because that will tamp it down. That will really slow the spread of this virus. And, again, if we slow the spread of the virus, that will make sure that our healthcare facilities can handle the people who actually need to go to the hospital.
I'm also sure you get a lot of questions on the local economy throughout the state, local businesses. If there's any kind of message that you would give to the citizens of Nebraska on how they can support local businesses and help everybody see this thing through when we do return to normalcy, what would that message be?
Well, I'd say, first of all, please, to the extent you can, go out and support our businesses and merchants. if you order out food from a restaurant, tip them well. You know, these people are hurting. Let me tell you, especially in the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry, the bars, they are hurting. We are taking steps at the state of Nebraska to help with unemployment. We've waived the normal week waiting period. We've waived the normal requirement that you're looking for work and able to take work. We're not going to charge businesses for those unemployment benefits like we typically would. So we are trying to make it. We are seeing people apply. So that's one of the ways the state's going to help. We're also, I've filed paperwork with the Small Business Administration, and if we can get that disaster status declared pretty quickly here, what we'll do is allow businesses to be able to apply for long-term, low-interest loans from the Small Business Administration to be able to get more cash flow and keep their businesses open. So I would say, you know, if I had a message out there, I'd say, hey, folks, we're all in this together. Hang in there. We're working very hard at the state to be able to help the people who are impacted, whether it's the healthcare side or the economic side. We, you know, this country has been through this pandemic experience before. Now it was over 100 years ago. We'll just need to do it like we've always done by sticking together.
Well, Governor, obviously you as a huge sports fan, we talk about this on a daily basis. I've been asked many times, well, what are you going to talk about with no sports? And it never seems to be a shortage of storylines to talk about. You're involved with sports, the Chicago Cubs as well. But when you just think of that impact on really the sports world coming to a screeching halt, what are kind of your thoughts just from that perspective on how everything's kind of transpired?
Well, again, I think for the sports world, it's going to require people just to step up and do the right thing. You know, and that's what we've seen, you know, here in our state. You know, it's going to be a challenge for, you know, professional sports teams, you know, specifically baseball teams, which we get so much of our revenue coming from gate receipts. You know, we get a lot of money from television contracts, but not nearly like the NBA. The NBA, you know, the basketball teams get, I think, the vast majority of their revenues come from television. Not so for us. So that's going to be a challenge, but we're going to have to work with our players, work with the players' union, work with the league to be able to figure out how much of a season we can actually have this year. And I got to tell you, I think not just because I own part of a baseball team and, you know, that's important that we keep that thing going, but I think having sports in general, we can get back to more of normalcy.
Yeah.
That's going to really demonstrate to people that, you know, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And so we are going to have to work hard to be able to figure out ways and solutions to do that, kind of like we did with state basketball and, you know, News Channel Nebraska and Mike Flood really stepping up to be able to broadcast those games. I know that that was a morale boost for people who were saying that there weren't any other sports on TV. So we need to look for opportunities to be able to kind of return back to normalcy when the health conditions allow, because I think that will really give people hope and that idea that, yep, we can all get through this.
Are you getting sleep, Governor? After all this that you've laid out there, I'm just trying to imagine if you're even having an opportunity to get some sleep right now.
Well, typically I'm on the phone pretty late at night, but one of the things I've made a priority for me and I encourage for everybody, especially our healthcare workers, people involved in our food supply chain, our first responders, our police, our firefighters, please make sure you take care of yourself. I've been working to try and, I mean, I haven't quite got 8 hours of sleep at night, but working to try and get there. Exercise, eat healthy. We got to, everybody, we got to work on staying healthy so we can continue to serve the public.
Yeah. And in closing, for folks that are listening to this show that have questions that are uncertain, just like I'm sure you are and everybody else in this time, what would be just that overall message you'd want to get out to the folks in Nebraska?
Well, one great source for getting information is going to be from our website for the Department of Health and Human Services. And that website is DHHS.NE, so NE for Nebraska, .gov, so DHHS.NE.gov/coronavirus. And there's also an information line that people can call. So if you want to go call and talk to somebody, the information line is open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. And that number is 402-552-6645. Again, 402-552-6645. So you got two ways that you can find out more information about this coronavirus, either online or calling up and talking to our information line.
Governor Pete Ricketts joining us. Governor, thank you so much for spending time with us. Stay healthy, stay safe, and thank you again for being out in front of this.
Well, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Nick. And thanks, thanks to all the media for what they're doing to help make sure the public stays informed. We really couldn't do this without you all. So thank you.
Good morning. It's Terry McCormick. Our world has been turned upside down in the past month due to the COVID-19 coronavirus. And with so much information out on the internet, so many questions that we have, we wanted to go to an expert in the field. And with me this morning, I have Dr. David Quimby. He is the Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Epidemiology at CHI Health to answer some questions about COVID-19. Good morning, Dr. Quimby.
Good morning.
The first question, I guess, that everybody wants to know, and there are so many really serious questions about this, is how the COVID-19 coronavirus is spread.
Just like influenza or the common cold, you tend to get infected by being around other people who are infected. So if you have somebody who is infected and they are coughing, they're putting little droplets in the air that you can breathe in, and you get infected that way. The reason why hand washing is generally good is when people are coughing, the little droplets are in the air, they can go onto surfaces. You can then touch these surfaces and end up touching your face or nose and infecting yourself that way too.
How long can those droplets infect someone? Let's say I go somewhere and someone had been there the night before who had the virus. 24 hours later, if I touch that same spot, will I be exposed?
They are researching this, from what I can tell, quite industriously right now. And it really depends on the type of surface that you're talking about. Not all surfaces are equal. And it depends where the surface is. If the surface is outside in a high heat, we'll get warm eventually, and high UV ultraviolet light environment, the virus will not last as long as if it's in a colder, humid area. On some surfaces, there is some infectious virus still present over a day later, which is why in many what they call high-touch areas in buildings, the standard routine cleaning is done to take care of that.
Okay. So hand sanitizer, I did want to talk about that because it's in high demand right now. And I know the first line of defense is washing your hands. How does hand sanitizer prevent this disease?
It is like soap and water on the go. The alcohol in the hand sanitizer can deactivate many viruses, including this one. You have to make sure that there is enough alcohol content in it to have at least 60%.
60%. Okay. Lately in the news, Dr. Quimby, they're talking about how the disease is spread. And Dr. Quimby, this past week here in Omaha, we've had our first two cases of community spread coronavirus. And I was wondering if you could explain to our listeners what community spread actually means.
Sure. In short, community spread is somebody got it and we don't know where they got it. Here's an example. If I just came back from Italy, who's having a bad outbreak right now, and I become ill, my infection can be traced back to Italy. If my wife were to become ill after I was ill, her infection could be traced back to Italy as well, even if she didn't go there, because she got it from me and I was in Italy. So even though she technically picked it up here in Omaha, that's not community spread because it's directly related to my travel. What community spread is when you have a person who has not personally traveled and they've not had high contact with somebody who has traveled or a known positive case. So that means somewhere in their daily life, they just managed to be exposed to it and we're not quite sure where.
Okay, and so that is why now we're down to 10 people or less in a room. It's to prevent this, correct?
Yes. There's various math models that you can put together to figure out if you have this many people in a population infected, what are the odds of one person in this many randomly being infected? And that's where they come up with these numbers.
Okay. What are the three main things that you would say would possibly lead someone to believe they may be infected with the COVID-19 virus? What are the three top symptoms?
It does not have to be very high, but in one large group of infected people, 88% of the patients had some sort of fever. There is normally a dry cough and shortness of breath. Runny nose symptoms tend to not be very common with COVID-19, and sore throat is less common as well. However, if you have a chronic cough, that alone can give you a sore throat.
How are we in Omaha with testing right now? Because people are worried they're not going to be able to get a test if they need it. How is that going?
We are told by the federal government that more testing will be available in the upcoming week. Right now, testing is performed through the health department, and they are screening people for certain criteria so that the test can be where it is most likely to be helpful.
So if someone had some of those symptoms, they would call the health department first? Is that probably what they should do?
No.
Okay.
The health department is just a wee bit busy right now.
I bet.
Generally, people also talk to their own primary care physician, or CHI Health also has a website to help determine your particular individual risk, as well as virtual care visits.
So they could go online easily and get that information.
Yes.
A question a lot of our listeners have, if a woman is pregnant and gets the COVID-19 virus, how will that affect her, or do we know yet?
That is not very certain right now because it's a relatively new disease. From what we have found with data available from overseas, it does not seem to be as bad in pregnancy as some other illnesses that are known to be very bad, such as rubella or influenza. But data is very much not clear on that right now.
A couple of questions I'd like to ask you as well, doctor, because so many people ask them and there are so many different answers. Here we go with the first question. If you get COVID-19, can you get it again, or do you only get it once?
That will be an answer we know for 100% certain next year. With a lot of infections, you have lifelong immunity. Okay. With a lot of other infections, you have some short-term immunity, but nothing long-term. Influenza and a lot of cold-type viruses are in that category. So we will not know until time has gone by, chance for people to get infected more than once, on whether you have permanent immunity or not.
All right. And the second question is, since it is flu season, can you have the flu and COVID-19 simultaneously at the same time?
Technically, yes. However, I can also get hit by a car and by lightning at the same time. That's very common. They've found that if you have another respiratory infection isolated, you actually have a less than 2% chance of having an active COVID-19 infection at the same time.
And a question I get asked all the time, and I wonder if it's true for me because I get the flu shot. Does the flu shot protect you anyway? Not so much in getting the virus, but building up your immune system. So maybe if you do get the virus, it doesn't affect you as badly.
It has nothing to do with COVID-19, but flu shots in general are a very good idea. Even if they are not perfect, they do reduce the severity of infection if you get influenza, and also helps prevent its spread throughout the population.
Okay, so people can still get a flu shot. While it's not going to prevent the disease, it's a little something extra you can do to help your immunity, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Who wants influenza?
And one final question. They're having people, if they have symptoms or if they've been around someone, to quarantine themselves for 2 weeks. Is 2 weeks the length of time someone is contagious with this virus?
The standard incubation period is 2 to 14 days. What that means is that's the time after you're exposed to somebody to when you would become sick if you're going to. That's where the 2 weeks comes from, because if you've been away from your exposure for 14 days and you're not sick yet, you weren't actually infected during that exposure. How long people are infectious and can spread it to other people after they are sick, that is still a work in progress. We know, based on nasal testing, you can still find some virus particles even a couple of weeks after somebody has been sick, but that doesn't mean it's actually like live virus that could spread to other people.
Doctor, as we wrap things up here, is there any advice you want to give to those listening just to calm their fears a little bit and what you've seen so far with the COVID-19 virus?
The final advice here is just use common sense, good hand hygiene, keep your hands away from your face, stay out of very large group settings, and do not hoard the toilet paper. This is not norovirus. You are not going to need 500 rolls of it.
That's great advice because, yeah, it's in short supply right now. But, doctor, thank you so much, and thanks for all you do because I know you're very, very busy right now. So best of luck to you, and thank everybody who's on the front lines there taking care of people with this disease because you're our heroes.
Thank you.
Honored to have on the phone with me Mayor Matt Walsh of Council Bluffs. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Terry. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. I know that everything is happening very fast over there in Council Bluffs. I know Governor Kim Reynolds issued that emergency order, and now the casinos have been closed. How are things affecting the people of Council Bluffs right now?
obviously, we're part of the greater Omaha Council Bluffs metropolitan area. And so what happens in Omaha affects us. And so we're watching not only what happens in Iowa, but what happens in Nebraska. The governor certainly is taking appropriate measures. I think social isolation or social distancing is old school in nature, but it's proven effective. I think China has seen that, where in Hunan, they had no new cases yesterday. South Korea is seeing theirs drop off. So I encourage people to continue to practice. Seems like this has been going on for a long time. In actuality, it really got serious a week ago today when they canceled sports. And I'm not saying that's the most important thing, but if that is a point in time that people are aware of and how much has changed since then, it's kind of shocking.
It is. And I was thinking of you, too, because last year at this time, it was all the flooding in Council Bluffs in that area, having to shut down festivals like the Lust Fest and different things. So how has the community just been holding up overall? It seems like the community is very giving and very understanding, but it is a tough time.
Yeah, it's a community with a big heart and strong work ethic. And so I know they're going to get through. That said, there are people that are suffering. You know, we have students who typically would be getting their nutritious meals at school each day. And thank the Council Bluffs school system, they're still providing those meals. But frankly, some people don't have the ability to come by during the lunch hour to pick up the meal. So I'm sure there are people that are not eating as well as they should, young people and elderly people maybe are not getting the compassion they'd get from their family members coming to visit. But all these things are important. The advice I saw today that I thought was really relative is treat everybody you deal with like they have the virus. There are people who are asymptomatic, who have no fever, have no headache, have no cough, but they have the virus and they can transmit it. So watch out for yourselves and make sure that you social distance and wash your hands and clean your countertops and railings.
That is the best way to handle this. And one last question. I know that the president just signed the bill to provide relief for a lot of people, especially with unemployment. Can people who maybe worked at the casinos, at restaurants, different things, start applying for that right away? Would you suggest that?
The sooner they can apply, the sooner they can get benefits. Now, that said, it's a system that is not designed for this type of volume. And so there will be difficulty getting a hold of somebody. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle. And to that end, I guess I'd encourage those that have to reach out to those that don't have and make some donations.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for your time and good luck with everything. Okay.
Stay safe. Stay healthy.
With the news and information constantly changing during this pandemic, lots of information and misinformation has been spreading around the internet. Websites you may frequently visit, on your social media news feeds, it can be a little overwhelming, especially when you're just looking for the facts and some reliable information. The Center for Disease Control is probably the most trusted source for monitoring the coronavirus spread across the United States. Their site not only is authoritative, but it's probably the most trusted source for updates and information. We have links posted to all of these on our station websites that will directly connect you to the most up-to-date information. You can also visit them online at www.cdc.gov/COVID-19. There, you can easily obtain information on how to protect yourself and a step-by-step guide if you think you're getting sick. Again, that's cdc.gov/COVID-19. The Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services is another great resource that we closely monitor. They're tracking the outbreaks across the state and its impact on our local healthcare systems. Again, we have direct links to their website on our station's website. Just click on the coronavirus update page. There you can find the information you need if you have planned travel, information on cases reported in Nebraska, tools and resources for you and your family, as well as information and statewide mandates for schools, colleges, businesses, communities, and more. Iowans can get trusted information from the Iowa Department of Health. They have been monitoring cases across the state and have plans prepared if needed. It's similar to how they would prepare for severe weather. Their website, idph.iowa.gov. Just click on the coronavirus tab. They have pertinent information for long-term care, prevention, businesses, school, travel, and more. Again, we have links to all of these websites on our website for easy reference. Just click on the coronavirus update page. One final trusted source for the most comprehensive information is the World Health Organization. Their site has information on cases and information from across the globe. It's a good source for who, what, and why certain restrictions were put into place and why preventative measures are needed to be taken. WHO.int is their website. You can download printable posters, place them in your home or office, in certain rooms like restrooms, on doors, in the kitchen, with reminders to everyone in your household to use precaution. It is a lot of good tips for coping with stress during this uncertain time as well. We as an entire team have been monitoring COVID-19 and its effects on Omaha, Council Bluffs, and all the surrounding communities. As we get information, we ensure it's from a reputable source and have that available for you on our website 24/7. You can easily access it from any computer, tablet, or smartphone. We want to keep you in the know of anything that's going on that's going to impact you or your family's lives and keep you healthy and safe.